mindfulness mode.
You're enough, man. You are enough.
Welcome, Mindful Tribe. Welcome back to another episode of Mindfulness Mode. I'm here today with the founder of the Horsemanship Journey. And you know that we've talked about horses before, and we are well aware of how mindful horses are. It's always great to talk about animals on the show. And my guest combines personal development with horsemanship. So I find this very, very interesting. He helps to empower people to find and use their horsepower within to develop the confidence and strength to blast past their perceived weaknesses and become whomever they desire. And I can certainly identify with that sometimes. You know, perceived weaknesses can really stop us in our tracks sometimes. Our guest is a certified life coach as well as a professional horseman, an entrepreneur, and author. My guest is Shane Jacob. Shane, are you in mindfulness mode today?
I am, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. So what does mindfulness mean to you, Shane?
You know, I thought about that. And when I think about mindfulness, Bruce, I go to it like a two-part piece. First is to care to be aware. Okay. So, and what I mean by that is, I can even break that down into like, I guess I need to want to be aware. I need to have the desire to be aware. And I'll mention one thing about that. You know, I've heard, and sometimes I like to say, the only thing that matters is everything, because I truly believe that everything matters, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times I observe people and it's like, well, that doesn't matter. Well, this and that. And everything matters, which is one thing, you know, where this started, you know, where it came to me was observing horses early on. And how it works with horses is this. Horses, they don't stay the same, okay? And so humans and horses have a relationship when we interact with them. Now, when I come into proximity with a horse, what I mean by that is, let's say, it depends on the closeness, depends on the size of enclosure that they're in. So if they're in a small enclosure, it can be closer. If they're loose out in the wild or in a larger several acre enclosure, I can have an interaction from further away. But regardless, when I come into proximity with a horse, there's one of two things that's going to happen. That horse, based on the reaction of what I'm doing, is going to move either towards the desired result that I want to have or further away. One or the other. He's not going to stay the same. Now you can say, well, hey, Shane, my horse does the same thing every single time. And so what do you mean it doesn't stay the same? He stays the same. And what I say to that is if you're getting the result that you want, you're reinforcing that result. So therefore, you are moving closer to, you know, always having the desired result that you want. But little teeny things matter to these horses when we come into proximity, like our behavior, everything that happens in this, every single thing. They can almost feel my mood when I get there, you know.
Yeah.
It's magical. So I could go on about that, but I won't. But I will tell you this about that. And that is that we really don't realize that you can feel me now. Some of you can see me, you can hear me, and you can feel me. And you know a lot right now, just to begin with. And so that's the first place that, you know, that, first of all, that everything does matter. And when I talk about care to be aware, when I think about your question, I think about, you know, why would I want to care to be aware? And then I go to think about, well, why would I want to? And sometimes I think, Bruce, when we contemplate our mortality, you know, when horses and any animal that generally speaking have a shorter lifespan, a lot of times they cause us to think about our own mortality. We do, as some of us know, as we get older, we think more and more about it because our odds are getting closer and closer, that it's getting shorter and shorter. But, you know, when we're younger, we really don't think we need to. A lot of times that's the best time to. But thinking about our mortality sometimes also is one thing that can help us, you know, care to be aware, to want to be aware. And then just, you know, and just knowing that we can. And that's another thing. Sometimes it's so easy to get stuck in Just kind of thinking that we're determined. Stephen Covey said that the fact that we can think about our thoughts proves that we are not our thoughts. And so when we can begin to understand our thinking by this awareness, then we have a start. So I'm going to come back. This has been a big long thing, but basically, care to be aware. Okay. So I want to be aware. When I talk about mindfulness, my first thing is I want to make sure that I want to be aware of what's going on with me because it matters. It doesn't even just matter to me. And I would like to say more about that, but it depends on it. It matters to everyone I interact with, kind of like the example I used with the horse. Then the second part is once you've got that one, and then it's just simply to be intentional. I think when we really desire to be aware of ourselves, when we have that desire, then kind of the next natural step, it's a kind of easy to be intentional about how we go about doing it, and to exercise our agency, to use our responsibility, to use our thoughts to move forward in the direction that we want to. And so, I mean, that's a lot, but when I think of, I'll sum it up quick. One is to care, to be aware, to desire to be mindful, to be aware of ourselves, and then by knowing everything matters, and then is to move forward intentionally. So at the end of the day, we just look back and say, did I utilize my time the best I could? And the answer is not ever going to be that 100% we did probably, but are we moving in the generally the way that we want to? And I think that's it.
Well, Shane, you have had a lot of struggles in your life up until you started helping people with personal development. Can you give us a little bit of a glimpse into some of the challenges that you have gone through?
Myself, sure. I'll tell you a quick story about me, a big overview, I guess. And that is, as a young individual, as a young man, I just didn't think I fit in, Bruce. I didn't think I measured up. I thought everybody else was over there and I was over here, smaller and less than. And I can't pin out down any particular reason why. I look at other people and what they've overcome as children, and I didn't have a particularly, life-shattering, anything I could really pin it to, so other than that's just the way it was. And so I'll just go with that. But I just looked around and I just thought that people were more and I was less, and I didn't know why, and I couldn't fit in. I really tried to fit in with groups, and I did, and I had good reasons too. I felt like I was, pretty successful at sports, but I really just, no matter what it seemed like I did, I couldn't fit in. And I felt bad about that. I felt bad about me. And as a result of that, I experienced with drinking, and that was pretty good because I felt better. I mean, that was a place that I felt good. And these feelings of inadequacy and this good feeling that I got led to a serious addiction. They led to my incarceration. They led to people being hurt. They led to, the more that I fed this, we'll call it a my feelings of inadequacy, the more that I fed it with alcohol, the better I felt, but the worse everything got. And so it was just this vicious cycle where, I limited and destroyed and diminished my life in every single aspect. My health, every single relationship, we'll start that first of all, was diminished or destroyed. The trust levels that I had with people were shot. It was a terrible time, and it took me a long time. It took me decades before I could finally crawl out of the bottom of a bottle. And I was 47 years old. I was 47 years old. But the thing of it is, Bruce, is that on the bright side of all that is the same things. I mean, when people want to, between God and horses, I was able to crawl out of that thing in 2016 and talk with you here today, and I'm proud to do it. But the things that helped me get from there to here and where I am today is a much happier place. Part of that, I would describe as mindfulness, but those concepts, they apply to every single person who desires something that they, if they are where they are and they want to be somewhere else, it's the same principles that I use that you can get from where you are to where you want to be. The same principles I learned through horsemanship and in my experience.
And when did you start helping people with personal development and self-esteem?
I guess shortly thereafter, we launched the horsemanship journey in 20, couple years later. We've been at this for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
And when you say we, who do you mean?
Me and my small team.
Okay.
My wife, my sister, and a couple of people that help us, JJ and our little THJ team, the horsemanship journey team. We're about, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And so you're starting a podcast soon, aren't you?
Just launching this month. Pretty excited about that.
That is exciting. So tell me about that. Are you going to be interviewing people or are they solo episodes? What's it going to be like?
I think it's going to be similar to yours, which is, I understand from what I've listened to, there'll be a little of both. We'll go after and try to, there's so much to be learned from so many people around that we'll do a little bit of combination.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. So when did you meet your wife and tell us about that powerful part of your team?
I have a pretty amazing wife right now. Thanks to, I don't know. I mean, like God bless the broken road, cause we both traveled some broken roads and the thing of it is, I'll tell you what, in the horsemanship journey show, I've interviewed 75 or almost 80 guests already for our video production show. I interviewed 75 of the top horsemen and experts in human development in the world for the horsemanship journey show. And I always come back to one of the guests there's so many, but Chad Foster wrote a book called Blind Ambition. I talked to Chad and Chad looked at me. Okay. And he looked at me. And so this is a man who was sighted, had 100% sight as a young man and went from fully sighted to fully blind by the time he was 20 or 21.
Wow.
So through his teenage years to 20 or 21, he went from fully sighted to just totally blind. He told me now in his early, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s, I guess. I'm not sure how old he is, but he told me, he said, Bruce, when I sat down with him, he said, Shane, you won't believe this, but I would not have it go back.
Is that right?
I would not have it. If I could have it, I wouldn't have my sight back. And I sat there. He has, at the time, he had a young child that he had never seen with his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you have, and I just thought about that. And I really wondered, I'm like, really? Is that really true? But, and he went on to tell me that he wouldn't be able to be where he's at. And he was so happy with where he's at. And he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing and relate to people and to help people at the level he was and to have his own level of development that he had he not lost his sight.
Wow.
And I just really thought about that in depth. And it, to me, to answer to your question in a similar way, with all the brokenness and all the wreckage in my past, and maybe there's some in the future, but not like what's in the past. But with all that, the broken road behind me brought me and my wife together, and it's going to take us to, and it is taking us day by day to a beautiful place in the future. And had it not been for all that back there in the rearview mirror, mm-hmm. we would not be able to be who we are today, and who I am today, I'm pretty happy to be.
Wow. What's the most awesome thing about your life now compared to what it used to be?
That's a good question. And the reason I'm saying that's a good question is because every soul who hears this is what I'd like for you to know, that the difference of what I'm going to say about me, if you apply it to you, I think it'll have a, I will have a positive impact. And that is, I talked to one time a lady named Cheryl Green. She's an author and a speaker. And Cheryl told me that she believes that every negative behavior can be rooted, can be traced to its core to a negative view of ourselves, or in other words, a lack of confidence, a poor self-image, and this and that and other, including bullying and all these things, right? That I'm talking about all negative human behavior can be traced to a way that we view ourselves. And I thought about that too. And you know what, Bruce? I have not been able to prove that theory wrong. And so when, I believe that I truly believe that there's really that if people do two things, that they're going to be on a positive track in their life. And number one is this, the most important is to know you and love you. To commit to pursue a lifelong relationship, a positive, loving relationship with yourself. To accept you for who you are, to know that you're worthy, and to know that you're good enough. Now, that's pretty easy to say, but it's a little bit harder to do because, you know, all of us has done something. You know, there's something back there that we all of us have experienced shame in life, you know, to some degree or one, you know, maybe it was that bankruptcy or this, we did this, we did. There's so many things that it could be, but it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what I've done. Even if it matters to you what I've done, it doesn't matter to me because it doesn't need to. So when I can know that and it can be okay, it can be okay that I've done some things that I wished I wouldn't have done, you know, that I was ashamed of, and that shame made me hide and made me lie and made me, it diminished my life. And when I began to accept me as I am, as a imperfect human being striving to be closer to perfect and have that be okay wherever I was at on that journey, and knowing that this idea of self-confidence isn't something like, hey, I'm a self-confident person now. I just want you to know I'm confident. This is me and I'm confident. It's a progression, you know. It's a daily thing that we work on. And if you come if we commit, and I am committed to this relationship with myself, of improving this relationship with myself. And if and when we can accept that, then we're on the way to good things for ourselves. But to me, it's even more serious than that. I don't even just think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea because you're going to, you know, achieve this and that and get this result that you want and the other. It's much more. I believe that it's not a good idea, that it is our duty as human beings on this earth to pursue that end, because without it, I cannot, it's only to the extent that I can give to the relationships, to the people I love, and to make my mark on this earth. So my message really to the world, number one, is to know it. I'm telling you, if you can't believe for any other reason, if you can't, if it's not, if that God created you isn't enough, or you don't believe it, or that for whatever reason, because you think what you did is too bad or whatever, just I'm asking you to believe me. Just hold on to anything that you can to try to believe that you are enough. You are worthy, and it is okay. And I'll tell you one more thing on this subject. I fought this. Here's what I fought: that if I accept me for as I am, that I'm accepting mediocrity. So I will not accept it. I will not accept me. I'm mad at me. I did wrong, and I'm not going to deal with that. Period. And you know, I was basically I was fighting myself. I could not. I was stuck. Because I thought that if I accepted me as I am, that I was accepting something that was and that was the exact opposite way of, to go about it, because I could not move forward before I let it be okay with how I was and who I was. And so by accepting, it doesn't mean settling for. See, I thought it kind of mean to settle for something less than, you know, I'm striving for excellence. That was like the biggest paradox. When I began to slowly have it be okay that I was me, then I was able to really open up, and the doors, it's just like opened, and I was able to step, and I'm still stepping today, right now. I'm stepping in this podcast, talking to you and your audience.
Wow. That is really fantastic. I want to ask you, Shane, do you and your wife own a horse farm?
Oh yeah, right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, we have right here at our little place. We board some horses. We own quite a few horses, and so we are heavily involved in many aspects of the horse business. So I have right here. We have I don't know, 25, 26 horses here today.
How many acres?
We have a ginormous ranch here in the Las Vegas Clark County of 2.5 acres.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's great. You have all those horses. And do you have a favorite horse?
I've had a lot of good horses. That's a really good question. That's an interesting question. I'll tell you this about horses. I've had the opportunity to ride some exceptional horses. And here's something about horses, I'll tell you quickly. Horses, and to relate this, the best horses are rare. There's millions of horses, but the best are rare. And the best horses are the ones that are willing participants. They want to. They have two pieces. They have the athletic ability, they have the physical ability, they have all the things put together to be able to do an exceptional job. And then the second piece is that they want to. They have a tri-level or a desire to be, they're willing and they want to get along.
That
If
sounds a
you
lot
have
like
someone,
humans, doesn't
doesn't
it?
it? And I think you know which one of those two is the most important too.
For sure. Yeah. So can you tell us a story about somebody that you have helped with their self-esteem, their personal development, their challenges?
Just a lot of people. I'll tell you, I have the opportunity to help a lot of people with their fears, surrounding horses or these big ginormous creatures, and sometimes they can be pretty daunting, and to see some of these to see people progress through that is really, I watch people that I won't mention it. Well, yes, I will. There's a gal that recently that I'm working with, and her name is Tyler. And Tyler was so, she had so much anxiety. She would just sit on her horse and just try to breathe as she sobbed. And so over a period, and it took a little bit of while, she was able to move forward and kind of feel that fear and move forward, and to be able to successfully, to ride her horse and accomplish some of the things that she wants to. But here's the deal. On an ongoing basis, so this had been, I would say, over the course of a couple of months, she came and we spoke, and it was time for our regularly scheduled lesson. And what she told me was is that she had a thing at work that she'd been avoiding with her boss, a conversation that she needed to have. And she'd been avoiding it. And she used the things that we talked about, breathing, feeling the emotion, having it being okay, re-guiding the emotion, the same things that we used on her horse for her to make that, to overcome that little piece of fear and accomplish what she wanted to. She used that at work, the same skill, because it's, we have fear a lot of times in all kinds of stuff. We all do every day, little bits or big bits. And she was able to accomplish it. She got a promotion. She was, but the, whatever it was, it was. But the big key was is she has a life skill that will help her not only accomplish what she wants on with horses, but in life. And so when I hear stuff like that, that's what drives me. That makes my day.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you have a story about bullying that you can share with us here on the show where mindfulness would have made a difference?
I'd like to just tell you one quick thing about that is, and that is when I'm going to relate this to horses, and I'll tell you what it is. Horses don't speak very good English. I've never met one that does. And so communication can be a barrier with horses. We all do our best, I think most of the time. However, it is a relationship, and a lot of times we lose our patience, and a lot of times people can be unfair with horses. We can be operating on our emotions, and we can look back and we can have regret. I'm going to call that bullying because it happens a lot. And The thing though that I've observed as I've tried to improve communication and not operate on emotion myself in all aspects is, solely as a decision maker, is that when I observed horses, when it comes to what I perceived as somebody had been unfair to a horse, okay, I'm going to call that bullying. What I observed with these horses was that they didn't come right back and turn the other cheek and say, "Take, give me another beating," or do what you just did, that because that wasn't very fun. They had a boundary, kind of. They were like, "Well, I'm not going to do that again because, there was a problem there." So they didn't, lean right into, they didn't take abuse on purpose if it was abuse or bad behavior. But what they did, Bruce, here's the lesson: they forgave. They forgave. They took it as totally indifferent. If I said, as I've watched with behavior, people that I thought were unfair to horses, and I watched them change their behavior, go back with a different attitude, and they 100% came back and gave them their trust over a very short period of time. So when I look at that, this is kind of an odd way to look at your to answer your question, but I will say what I wanted to say was is that I want to be that guy. Which doesn't mean, like, when we have things happen to us that are unfair all the time, people do things to us that we really believe that we take as unfair, that are wrong, right? And instead of me reacting and going back to that, it doesn't mean that if it's a bad behavior that I go back and I, continue to set myself up to take abuse. That's not what it means. What it means is I can have a boundary and still forgive you. And so, kind of backwards to your question, my short answer is that when things happen to me and to happen to us, what I try to do is to look at it in that light and say, forgiveness for what you've done that I think is unfair is not about you, it's about me. So therefore, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to give this gift to you, but as a gift to me, I'm going to let it go, which, like I said, doesn't mean that I'm going to go take and get my ass beat again. It just means that, maybe I'll stay out of your way, but I'm going to let it go because I don't want it to have it have a big impact on me. As minimize that as much as I can, because when it impacts me and it becomes who I'm about, then it impacts the people in my world and my future and everything that I can, that anything that I can, relate to, anything that I can impact in the world.
Well, I see that on your bio it says you're an author. Have you written a book or do you write articles? Tell us about your work as an author.
Yeah, I'm also on the cusp, or I'm writing a book called The One Horse Race. It's I'm hoping to have it finished up very soon. I do write blogs, and we have a lot of social media, so I'm writing all over the place, but hoping to be able to have the One Horse Race, my book, finished up within the next hopefully second quarter. And so that's where we're at with
Oh,
that.
very good. Tell us about the meaning of the one horse race.
Okay, yeah, cool. So close to the end of my living in an alcoholic haze for decades, I was near the end of that thing. And one day it takes a lot of work, and I was a professional drinker. I mean, I didn't miss any days, and I was out there, and I rode horses, and I'd been drinking quite a bit. And one day a horse jumped out from underneath me, and I lay in there in the dirt and catching my breath and wondering if I had any bones broken or anything. And there was a lot of other things that had been going on in my life at the time that weren't what I'd call good. I had a lot of things that were kind of, everything seemed like it was going down. And then now I'm laying in the dirt wondering if I got any bones that are not broken. And this horse just kind of was just like acting like nothing happened, and he just, I looked over there in the dirt, I bent my neck, I could only bend it so far, I tried to roll and I looked over there and he was walking, monitoring over to me, stepping on his rein. And he walked over and just kind of stood there and looked at me for a minute. And I'm like, "You son of a gun, why'd you do that?" And I really don't think the horse talked, but somebody might, maybe it was my mind or God or something, said, "You did it to yourself." And I'm like, I looked back at him because I wanted to make sure he wasn't the one that said it. I'm still not sure. It could have been the horse, but I don't know for sure. Like I said, I was drinking at the time. And it was kind of that moment that I found it was interesting that you wrote a book with Brian Tracy because, the psychology of achievement, which I first listened to on a cassette tape in the, like, 90, 1992. He talks about be responsible. And at that moment, as I was laying there in the dirt thinking the horse is talking to me, it kind of clicked with me that, maybe it was something other than all this stuff I was blaming that had to do with where I was at. And I began to embrace this idea of personal responsibility, and that's my part two of if we can know that we're worth it and know that it's available, and then use our agency and our exercise. Our agency is basically the gift of choice, so we're able to choose, our response to everything. At that moment, I started making resolutions, and I started preparing to make the shift, and things started to happen.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Well, as we move forward in the interview, Shane, I want to ask you five quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this: who is one person that has been a really powerful mindfulness influence for you?
My dad's been my biggest influence on that. My dad, I look up to my dad. I don't know if he's a perfect parent, but my dad really was. He taught me a lot, and if I didn't listen, he let me know I wasn't listening. But he taught me the power of prayer, and that's given me an intelligent, excuse me, a tremendous amount of mindfulness.
Wow, that's great. And let's talk about your emotions. Tell us how mindfulness has helped you to deal with your emotions differently.
Oh man, give me more than 30 seconds, Bruce. I love it. No, I'm just kidding. I have learned through mindfulness, from being aware of what's going on with me, that not to be so much afraid of emotions. Some of them don't feel good. Here's an example: courage. We all think courage is so is a we associate positivity around courage. And let me tell you something: it doesn't feel very good. I mean, we should probably exercise it a lot of the time, and fear really doesn't feel so bad. And I've come to note it to know this over, being mindful, like you're talking, being aware. All the ways to become mindful have given me those two. Those are too quick. My emotions. It's okay to feel fear because it's not as bad, and courage is a little bit. Courage is not that bad either, but it's something that if we are mindful, that we can feel and move through.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about breathing. Do you have any special thoughts on breathing or any special tools or techniques that you use?
Yeah, they I'm not the expert on this, but I have read a little bit about the Navy SEAL breathing. My wife's really into that, and before I speak, I go through some serious breathing, because I had a real issue with public speaking, and it's still not the most simplest thing for me to stand up in front of an audience and do. And breathing, just getting that air in and exhaling how you need to, has really been helpful there. I wouldn't say I'm the expert on it.
Any books that you would recommend that are related to this topic?
I've read so many. I swear, my personal library looks like the self-help section at the Barnes and Noble. And I have read so many good books by so many people and interviewed so many people. It's this world has so much available to offer. I mean, it's just like when you if you decide that you want to be mindful and become aware, and you realize that what can become available, it's just it becomes an exciting journey. You can get beat down all the time, but I mean, there's so it's like we only have so much time. What can we do with it? The Greatest Salesman in the World, Rhinoceros Success. Brian Tracy has tons of good books. Think and Grow Rich is just like a staple. I loved listening to Jen Sincero. I could go on because there's just so many. There's so many. I can't really pin it down to one.
There are a lot for sure. Any apps that you recommend?
I don't have a specific app, but I will say this in this on the subject of mindfulness, I would say this has also come from Stephen Covey, and when he talks about a tool, if you're mindful, mindfulness is going to lead to intentionalness. I think they kind of go hand in hand. Would you say that?
I would.
So when you're living on purpose, you have to have a good tool, And my specific calendars that you have, I use a Google Calendar, but your tool, if you have a tool that really fits your the way you go about thing, whether it's paper or however you do it, there's a thousand different ways to go about it. But I'm talking about a scheduling tool. A scheduling tool for daily, weekly, however, and yearly, and then your longer term goals. If you have a scheduling tool that accomplish it's enough to say that adequately encompasses your intention of life. I think that that is imperative, because without a correct tool or an app to be able to keep you on track, that's your guide, it's your compass. You got your you, and so I think it's extremely important. And mine is simply a scheduling tool for an app. That's what I say.
Oh, I think it's extremely important as well. Yeah, it keeps me on track. Totally. Yeah, well, as we wrap up the interview, Shane, it's been really fantastic to talk to you. I want to ask you if you have any final words of advice for our listeners before we wrap it up.
Yeah, very good. Bruce, I love your show. Appreciate the message.
Thank you.
I've loved listening to so many guests that you've had in the past. I appreciate this opportunity. If you're listening to me today, I hope that you listen to what I said earlier, and that is that no matter what it is that you might feel shame for, that you might be struggling with guilt, that you might, I've done some pretty shitty things, and all of us have done something. We all get to experience shame. It's part of the thing. I'm just asking you to know if there's any way you can know that you're enough, man. You are enough as you are today, this moment. You're 100% as you are, regardless of all that, regardless of all that. And if you can't believe it for any other reason, try the fact that I'm asking you to believe me, because I'm telling you, we're all created equally. We're all divinely created and all equal, no more and no less. And if you believe that and you can accept that and you can have the be okay for those things, and then and be able to start moving forward, I think that's the best place that you can be, and to commit to pursue a loving relationship with yourself. It's okay to like you, man. I could not look in the mirror and just say, I like myself. I learned that in 92 from Brian Tracy, and I couldn't get the words out. I couldn't let it. I had to look away. I could not do it. And I'm here to tell you today, Bruce, I like myself. I do. And that's the beginning of it. And that's if you begin to step in that direction, I think you're on your way to to more peace and even more joy in your life. And that's what I'd like to leave you with today.
Wow, what great words. I really appreciate that. And your website, thehorsemanshipjourney.com, Mindful Tribe, is where you can go and check out Shane Jacob and what he has to offer. I'm going to repeat that, thehorsemanshipjourney.com. And then this book we're looking forward to reading when it comes out. And of course, the podcast, which is launching later this month, and that will be called The Horsemanship Journey as well. So thank you for doing all that you do and putting all this amazing material out into the world.
Thanks so much for having me, Bruce. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Mindful Tribe, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.